The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Alright, good morning Shasta County. Welcome to the Kevin Cry Radio Show. This is not Kevin Cry. This is Chris Kellstrom. Kevin Cry is out of town today, so he asked me to fill in for him. I do believe he may be calling in though. So welcome to the Kevin Cry Radio Show, KCNR 96.5 FM, 1460 AM. Kevin will be calling in, and he will be calling in at the number of 530-605-4567. So, welcome Shasta County. It's a little smoky out there. It's a little warm out there. As somebody that was born and raised here, just like Kevin was born and raised here, kind of used to the heat. But boy, I'm getting tired of this smoke. This smoke is, seems like every single year. I had to turn my headlights on yesterday going up to Shingletown because it was so darn smoky on the Durst Road corridor. So, has Kevin called in yet? Kevin is on the line. Welcome, Kevin. Good morning.
Good morning, Chris. How you doing?
Fantastic.
Hey, well, thanks for filling in, and as much as I sometimes wish I was born in Shasta County, I was actually born in Orange County and then transplanted to Shasta County, at 4 years old. Moved to Tama County first, but I can't tell you how much I appreciate you filling in, and I know District 5 is probably going to be highlighted for the majority of the show.
I cannot tell a lie.
Yeah, and it's well-deserved. So I wanted to give everybody a quick update on the 2025 Community Health Needs Assessment that Mercy Medical just put out just a couple days ago. And that's obviously something that's been a very hot topic of ours, healthcare in Shasta County, as well as, you know, pretty much everywhere in the nation. But for those that don't know, Mercy Medical serves nearly a 250,000 residents in the region, and it has been a hub over the course of course, the amount of time that, you know, I've lived in the area, which is, you know, over 40 years. But a couple of things I want to note that I think are really important that people need to know, because it's assessing, if we remember in 2022 when they put it out, they said they had one primary care physician for every 550 residents in the county. And then as we started this process, they adjusted that number and said it was one to every 3,100. Well, now this new needs assessment has come out, and it's more like one in 5,000. So some of the things that I think we have to really hit on as supervisors, and just even just our region, other supervisors of other counties, this is a big issue, and we have to tackle it collectively, because if healthcare doesn't get better, or if we don't stop the bleeding, it's only going to get worse, and it's going to lead to higher mortality rates, which our county does have in the majority of the state. But one of the things I want to, pick out that this study did say, it said nearly all the areas of the community that have been identified as either a medically underserved or health professional shortage for all professions. So it's not just that we don't have primary care doctors, we don't have any of the specialty care as well. And we lack the behavioral health services. I'll just read it verbatim. It says, the lack of behavioral health services leads individuals to self-medicate with substances, adverse childhood experiences. Of course, we all know that as ACEs, scores are higher than the state average, and the overdose rate is 20 points above the state average. In the community, has a large, underserved, unhoused community that struggles with behavioral health, substance use, and underlying physical concerns. So we have not just, a few issues, and one of the things that's been very important to me in the time I've been a supervisor, but, of course, my entire adult life is working with kids, and we have some really, really huge gaping holes that this study has pointed out as well as it relates to healthcare for kids. One of the things... Also, it says twice as many residents of Shasta County reported difficulty finding primary care than all of California residents, 21.8% and 11.1%. So Shasta County residents also reported difficulty finding specialty care at a higher rate than the California residents, 26.3% and 20.7% as depicted in a table. So if you go and you want to see the actual report, I'll have that up on my website here in a few days, and I'm going to have a lot more that I will be articulating at the board meeting this week. One of the other things that was really surprising in this was the access to oral health care. It said Shasta County adults reported that the reason they had not seen a dentist in the past 12 months is that they could not access a dentist at over twice the rate of all of California, which was 15.1 to 7.4. So our suicide rates, of course, I know Supervisor Plummer had mentioned that before, the suicide rate in Shasta County exceeds the state rate by 1.5%. Tama County's rate actually is 2.5 times the state rate. So when it comes to suicide, in our community, of course, you know, we do have a lower socioeconomic, region or county, but also our median age is, I believe, 55 years, the average in Shasta County. So as we look at these facts, we look at these statistics put out, I think it really highlights what Dr. Mu pointed out about our healthcare crisis in Shasta County and what needs to be done. And I think we're going to have to take some really, really drastic measures, Chris, to ensure that we're combating the mortality rate. Of you between 2020 and 2022, Shasta County had the highest age-adjusted mortality rate for all causes compared to all other 57 California counties. So when you start looking at the data about how dire it really is, I am so glad this is something that this board is tackling. And when I first started, asking the questions, pushing into this in the fall of last year, I had no idea that we would end up where we are now. We do have some options, and we are moving some things forward. UC Davis, actually, we're in conversations with them with some pretty great collaborative opportunities. So I think things are going to turn around, but I just encourage people to tune into the board meeting on Wednesday, as I'll discuss more of this in depth. And then tomorrow I'm going to be visiting a rural healthcare clinic that was built in Pennsylvania while I'm out here at NACO, the National Association of Counties in Philadelphia. So I'll report back on that on Wednesday. So, Chris, thanks for filling in. Really appreciate you. And, again, District 5's in the treat. I think you're probably going to highlight the entire district.
So. Yeah, and, one thing I want to say, though, while you're still there is how in the world can they have the numbers from one doctor for every 500 residents and oopsie, it's actually one in per 5,000. I mean, how can you get that far wrong?
Yeah, when they did this study in 2022, I've really started to change my, I know I've made some pretty big statements saying, was it corruption or just total incompetence to be this wrong? But, I'm at the point now, Chris, where I'm not looking to, and I know you're not either. I don't want to point fingers. I don't want to blame. I just want to make it better. And, being back here in Philadelphia with supervisors and commissioners from all over the country, and I'm actually traveling today with some from, our region today. And I just want to get it fixed. I want to bring solutions, and I don't care what's happened in the past. Let's just figure out what we can do going forward to make this better, because this is really bad.
Yeah, no, I agree with that 100%. Although I also, who cares what happened in the past, but let's make sure it never happens in the future again, too.
And I totally agree with that. I think accountability is really important, and I think what we're doing, and I'll just say this in terms of you and I, because we got elected the same year. I think what we're doing is we're bringing a level of transparency. And just asking questions that a lot of people have. And there's nothing wrong with asking the questions. And if people want to say, that we're just these, anti-government establishment, burn it all down, it's like, we're not those people at all. We just really love our community, and we've seen where it's gone over the last, 20, 30 plus years, and we're going to get it back, and we are getting it back, and I'm proud to be part of that.
Yep, we really are, and I tell people that all the time. People will say, "Well, how do you like it?" And I say, "Well, we're getting a lot of stuff done. A lot of it's in the background where people may not notice it. I mean, our county council's office, for instance. I mean, it's just our CEO is spectacular. I mean, we've made a lot of changes. Dr. Mu, we've made a lot of resource management, and we've made a lot of changes that you may not see from the outside and may not notice. They weren't a huge splash, but it's great changes we have been making. So, very proud of that.
And I'm very proud and honored to be a part of this board, and especially serving with you these last 2.5 years. So, listen, I'll let you get going, because I don't want to. I know you got a lot of things you want to hit on. I know the VSO thing. I'm very excited about the veterans issue we have coming back. I'm really excited about what's going to be proposed, and I know that you've got a lot of things that you want to highlight and about your great district. So, Chris, thank you. I appreciate you.
All right, you bet, Kevin. Stay safe back there.
Okay. Thank you. All right, bye.
All right, yeah, speaking of the veterans item that's on the agenda on Wednesday, so we have Health and Human Services. Christy Coleman has been working with Troy Payne, our VSO, along with some other great individuals. Kevin Knapp, who's from Special Forces, he stepped up to the plate and is giving them a hand. And Justin Bond from Our Heroes Dreams. Our Heroes Dreams does some amazing work. And so they're all working collaboratively together to try to figure out, you know, a way to get some of these homeless vets back on their feet, back into housing, back being productive members of society. And so it starts actually tomorrow. So tomorrow, I was just handed this by a wonderful veteran, Frankie, tank commander, handed me this piece of paper. So I guess apparently tomorrow, Shasta Veterans Collaboration to End Homelessness will have a meeting in the board chambers at 1450 Court Street from 3 to 4:30. So tomorrow, where they're going to kick it off, and we'll start there, and then on Wednesday, this will be on the agenda, and we'll learn more on Wednesday. It'll be an open session. I think it's R3. So, yeah, it's, you know, something that's great. It's something that needs to be veteran-led. That's why the VSO is involved. That's why Our Heroes Dreams is involved. That's why Kevin Knapp and Special Forces is involved. So the veterans know the best answers for the veterans. So we've got some great people working on this, and again, it kicks off tomorrow at 3 o'clock. In the board chambers at 1450 Court Street. So thank you for that, Frankie. I appreciate that. So I guess we'll just, like Kevin said, I'll be bragging about my district because personally I think it's the greatest district in Shasta County, although all of Shasta County is pretty awesome. But yesterday, as most of you know, when I do my board reports, is the second Saturday of the month. So I started out at the Anderson VFW Hall for breakfast at 8 o'clock in the morning. The police chief joined me with APD Officer Austin, and it was fantastic. The VFW and Anderson, I tell you, they treat me like royalty, and I love each and every one of them. They're spectacular. And then from there, I drove up to Shingletown because they also have their breakfast at the fire hall on the second Saturday of every month. So, and like I said earlier when I was talking about the smoke was just ridiculous. I was going up Dersh Road, and I mean, I literally had to turn my headlights on because it was like I was driving in fog. Coming down here to the studio today, it wasn't much better. The I-5 corridor was just socked in with this smoke, and it's very frustrating because it just seems like every year now, you know, we spend our summers with the sun covered in smoke and smoke in the air, and I don't know, it's a little frustrating. That fire now, the green fire has grown to over 10,000 acres. You know, we don't have super windy conditions. I wish they would get a handle on this a little faster than they are, but we've kind of seen this year in and year out. So anyhow, so while I was in Shingletown, this particular time I didn't go over to Grayson nor Lake, but I'll talk about that for a while because that's something that's very near and dear to my heart, the whole Battle Creek Restoration Project. So PG&E did not renew their FERC license to create power. There's several powerhouses downstream from Lake McCumber and Battle Creek Reservoir. It goes down into the Battle Creek Canyon. There's a few powerhouses in there, and then it goes all the way down into basically the Coleman Fish Hatchery where there's a powerhouse there. So they did not renew the FERC license, which means they're not going to generate power anymore, so they are dismantling all those powerhouses. I've been going to the meetings for about 2.5 years now. As soon as I heard that they didn't renew their license, I was really terrified that it would end up like Killark Reservoir. So any of you that don't know about Killark Reservoir, it's a beautiful little pond reservoir up above Whitmore. My kids grew up fishing there. It was just a great place. Bald eagles and ospreys. There's salamanders in the water, and I mean, lots of trout. And it was just a gem of the North State. And PG&E did not renew the FERC license for that powerhouse. Now they will tell you that they didn't drain the lake, which is somewhat true. What happened is there was a flume that carried water from Cow Creek all the way around the side of a mountain into the reservoir, and there was a rock slide that took out part of the flume. So since they weren't needing the water to generate power and the powerhouse was closed down, they just went ahead and never fixed the flume, and now the lake is just a big dry hole in the ground, and breaks my heart when I go up there. So when I heard that the similar situation may be happening with North Battle Creek Reservoir and McCumber and Grayson Nor Lake, you know, I immediately got involved. I've been involved for quite a while. So now it's kind of a great thing because the citizens of Macomber have now figured out that, hey, this is a bad thing. So, they're organized. They've gotten together. They have a huge, Save Macomber, project going on. So it's really great to see them engaged and because they're there at the right time. So for the record, PG&E has not said a single word about draining or dismantling the dams on Battle Creek Reservoir or Lake Macomber. There is the PG&E spokesperson at one of the last meetings made it very clear, hey, we haven't even discussed this. This is not on the table. There is no plan right now to dismantle either dam. With that being said, it's very important that we step forward now to do everything we can to make sure that they are saved, because there is no reason for PG&E to store water there anymore if they're not generating power downstream. So we need to make it clear why it is important to store water. So not only for the environment, for the ecosystem, for fire protection, property values, flood control, cold water going into battle, into the Coleman Fish Hatchery. So we are throwing everything at the wall that we can. The good news is both Battle Creek Reservoir and Macomber are not impeding fish passage. So fish never made it up that far. So they are not blocking fish passage or fish spawning. So that's the good news, because if those dams were blocking fish passage, then they would, I'm sure they would be ready to be dismantled. So there's a very good chance we can save them. I think we will be able to. The Board of Supervisors voted here a few meetings back that we sent a letter to the Department of Agriculture, which oversees the U.S. Forest Service, that, hey, we need them to step up to the plate to say that they will maintain, repair, and possibly replace the dams if necessary. PG&E deeded the land around Battle Creek Reservoir to the U.S. Forest Service, so now that's part of the Lassa National Forest, the land around there, so hopefully we can get them to step forward and say that they'll maintain that dam. And of course, the people in Macomber, you know, they're very worried about their little lake, which is a beautiful little lake. But it all starts with Battle Creek Reservoir. So my focus has really been on Battle Creek Reservoir, because you're not going to be able to save Macomber if you can't save Battle Creek Reservoir. So, I've been up there twice this year so far, and, my grandfather used to take me there 50 plus years ago. You know, I was a little kid, and back in those days, there was no campgrounds. There was no, you know, bathroom facilities. You just basically drove through the trees right up to the edge of the water, launched your canoe, and, you know, camped in the trailer. So it's a beautiful little lake full of trout, ospreys. Last time I was up there, bald eagle flew over the top. I mean, it's a great little lake, lots of wildlife, use that lake for drinking water, and food, of course. The bald eagles and ospreys are using it for food. So it's a really great little lake. And, again, I want to do everything in my power and the county's power to try to bring attention to it and to try to save it. So, with that, are we going to break anytime soon? We're good? Okay, 5 minutes. All right, perfect. So we'll talk some more about the, Anderson VFW Hall. Let's talk about that. So when I, first got elected, prior to getting elected, I found out that the county owned the VFW Hall in Anderson. I did not know that the county owned it. And, I used to rent the place quite often for fundraisers and for different groups and various groups. And, I wouldn't rent the place from June until through September because there were swamp coolers in the big hall. And, one time I had a fundraiser in June, early June, happened to be about 105 that day, and I had 250 people in a room with a couple swamp coolers. It was very uncomfortable and, was not good. So when I first got elected, before I was even sworn in, I think I was meeting all the department heads, and I sat down with Al Cathy, who, you know, I loved dearly. He was one of my favorites. He's a great guy. He's since retired, but he was a fantastic guy, but he was in charge of the buildings. And I said, you know, hey, can you tell me why we don't have air conditioning in the VFW hall in Anderson? I said, we own the building, correct? And he said yes. And I said, well, can you name me another building that Shasta County owns that doesn't have air conditioning? And he again, great guy. I love him to death, and God bless him, because he said, they need a new roof. I said, well, let's get a new roof on the place. And he goes, well, we have budgets. And I said, I understand, but these are our veterans. I mean, we've got to take care of our veterans, and we own the building. You know, so 2 years ago, or 3 years, yeah, 2 years ago, they got a new roof on the place. And then this last year, they got air conditioning in the hall. So, it's fantastic. We had a fundraiser in there a couple months ago, and, it was great. The hall was nice and cool. I actually had a lady come up to me and say, boy, it's cold in here. And I said, well, go get a jacket, because I don't want to hear hear anything else. We work pretty hard to get air conditioning in this place, so we're not turning it up. So anyways, yeah, the VFW hall, like I say, they treat me like royalty. They have their breakfast every, once a month. I have my own little name placard on my table. This drives Kevin crazy. That's why I'm mentioning it. But I have my name placard on my table, and it's just, they're just the greatest people down there, and I just shout out to all of them because I love them to death. So anyways, let's see what else we want to talk about. I think when we come back from break, we'll talk more about this Shasta Veterans collaboration to end homelessness. So that again, that's going to be on the agenda on Wednesday, but there's going to be a meeting on Monday beforehand. So, this is very near and dear to all of our hearts. Supervisor Plummer, had brought forward a plan that he had. When we looked into it, we had some, meetings or looked into it and had some input from some other people. The more we looked into the plan, it was more of a, it really wasn't ending homelessness. If they got a veteran in a hotel room for a night or two, then they considered that, he was no longer homeless, but they still were homeless. They didn't have the wraparound services. They didn't have them reentry services. So, that's when we actually in the middle of a meeting put together this coalition. Basically, there's several veterans out in the group that, they were not in favor of that other plan themselves, including our VSO and, as well as our CEO, who is also a veteran. So, really on the fly, we, decided to put together, we asked the veteran Justin Vaughn from, Our Heroes Dreams. We asked him, we asked Kevin Knapp was there from, Special Forces. And, we asked them, would you be willing to work with Health and Human Services as well as Troy Payne, the VSO? Would you guys be willing to work to come up with some program that we could, help the veterans and, actually give them actual help, not just a hotel room for a few days, but actually wraparound services, mental health services if necessary, drug addiction services, job training, whatever we needed to do. So, that is what this coalition is all about. That's what we'll be talking about on Wednesday, but it starts tomorrow at 3 p.m. at the Board of Supervisors Chambers. I will be there. I'm excited about it. We had a meeting with Christy Coleman and Troy Payne, who is our VSO, and they both have gotten some great ideas. They're moving forward. They're getting a mental health specialist, or that'll be what we'll be voting on, I believe, on Wednesday. They have funding to have a mental health specialist for, so the veterans, so that just exclusively for veterans. So looking forward to all that. A lot of stuff happening in the county. Again, want to bring out Battle Creek Reservoir. Pay attention to that. This fire up here, it's in the Plumbers District. I really would like to see that thing get under control. We had that park fire last year, and I mean, we threw every resource at it. It was unbelievable. I was behind fire lines the day after, and I mean, I was seeing fire engines. There was fire engines there from places I've never even heard of. But I mean, we threw everything we had at that fire, and that fire was going at 100 acres a minute. This fire is not going as fast as that fire was. In fact, when it started, the pictures I saw, the trees weren't even crowning. So I'm not sure why it's taken 2 weeks and it's at 10,000 acres, but, I have my theories, but I will not mention what those are. So hopefully we can get that under control. Anyhow, not sure what else I want to talk about. Lots of things happening. Again, my district, I'm pretty proud of my district. So, we talked about the VFW hall. I know when we come back from break, I know exactly what I'll talk about. So I'm looking forward to that. I got to do probably one of the coolest things I've been able to do as a supervisor, since my 2.5 years. So, but we'll talk about that in a few minutes. I did what I did on that Friday night, I was up at, RCRC in, Modoc County. Pretty exciting stuff up there. Saw some hot springs that were amazing. At one point coming in on the tour bus, hot springs, I saw a fish swimming under the water in one of the ponds. I was kind of interested to see what kind of fish they were. And so after the first speakers were done, we had a little break and I walked over to the pond and there's another gentleman at the pond looking in the pond and I walked over there and he said, there's fish in there. And I said, yeah, I know. I saw one coming in on I wonder what kind they are. And he theorized that there was a warm water sunfish or something. And I look and they were trout. And I was like, well, those are trout. And I'm thinking, well, who is this guy? I mean, he can't tell what a trout is. Well, it happened to be, Chuck Bonham, who's the head of the California Fish and Wildlife Service. So, we had a little discussion and, he said, well, is there any issues you have? And I said, well, you might want to turn your name badge around because the next people that are talking are the Cattlemen's Association and, they're not real fond of you right now. So, we went over there. He said he has meetings with the cattlemen every single week, you know, and yeah, he meets with them all the time. He told me he was against the protective species or protective status on the wolves, but his commission outvoted him. So, one thing, he did step up to the plate. The cattlemen are very upset up there. Modoc County has never had a problem with bears. Now they have a problem with bears. Now they have the wolves up there, and they've always had a problem with mountain lions, and everything is just getting worse and worse and worse for them. So one thing Chuck did tell me, which I'd heard as a rumor, there is a group of people that want to reintroduce the grizzly bear to the state of California. It's like I said, well, I'd heard that rumor, and he goes, no, it's not a rumor. There's an active group of people that want to reintroduce grizzly bears to California. And my reply was, what could go wrong? So that's one of Corky Harmon's main things is the wolf, the wolves. We just got an email the other day that had a wolf that crossed into Shasta County, coming down from Lassen County. So we have more wolves in Shasta County now. I've heard sightings of them in Shingletown area. I've heard sightings of them down in Cottonwood. Those weren't verified, but wolves are not going away. I go to the cattlemen's dinners and the cattlemen's talks, and I mean, it's a much bigger problem than most people know about. I talked to Heather Hadwick when I was up at RCRC, and she's the state assembly person, and she told me that when the wolves were first introduced here, or first brought down or in here, about 20% of the scat studies was bovine or cow, and about 80% was venison or deer or elk of some kind. Well, now it's completely flip-flopped. Now 80% of the scat studies are bovine cows, and then 20% is actual venison. So the wolves have figured out that it's much easier to catch cow than it is an elk or a deer. So that is what they're doing. The ranchers are getting hit pretty hard with it. And, a lot of the wolf kills, they don't even want to bother with the government. They don't want the government on their land. They don't want to go through all the hassles. I'm hearing it's taken sometimes up to a year to get reimbursed, you know, for a wolf kill. And, the ranchers are fed up. And right now they have protective status. So the only thing you can do is, bang pots together or make noise at them, and you're not allowed to shoot at them in any way or chase them or put dogs on them or anything else. You can just make noise, and the wolves, from what I've been hearing and actually some videos I've seen, they're not scared. They'll just sit there and look you in the eye. So anyway, so that is a problem that we are facing, and we're going to continue to do that, continue to bring attention to it, because again, these ranchers are getting hit, and they're not only getting hit with wolf kills, but just the stress on the heifers and the cows, the stress on them are causing them to abort the calves or not get pregnant at all. So, it's a huge problem. And again, there's a certain group of people that even want to reintroduce more grizzly bears. So, Chuck told me that he doesn't go to one of these meetings within the first 10 minutes. Somebody tells him that they need to reintroduce the wolves to L.A., and I kind of laughed and said, well, I was about to tell you my thoughts. You need to go to Golden Gate State Park is a good place to put the wolves there. So the people that vote, let's see how they like it and, get out of our problem. So are we going to break anytime soon? All right, fantastic. So when I come back, I will tell everybody the best thing that I've done so far is being a supervisor, the greatest opportunity that I had.
KCNR Shasta is also broadcasting at K243CT Redding.
Now is a great time to prepare for the upcoming wildfire season. REU and city staff are busy clearing vegetation to mitigate wildfire risk to our power lines, facilities, and the community. You can also prepare by trimming back shrubs and tree branches that are closer than 5 feet from your home. Clear debris from your roof and gutter and clear dead vegetation on your property. For information about tree trimming and proximity to power lines, call 530-224-4356. Please remember, we all need to work together to prevent wildfires in our community.
Need help with your health insurance? We've got you covered. At Shasta Community Health Center, we offer this free service to our community. Our enrollment counselors can assist you with new applications, renewals, troubleshooting, and answering your questions about covered California plans or Medi-Cal, also known as Medicaid or Partnership Health Plan. We're here to help you make the best choice for you and your family. Call our outreach and enrollment team at 530-229-5117 to get help today. Shasta Community Health Center, because SCHC cares.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Obtaining a California concealed weapons license will allow the licensed individual to transport a listed handgun in their vehicle or on their person in public. For application instructions, training, and other information, contact NFI at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300, a reputation for excellence since 1965.
All right, love our American flags. I got one sitting right in front of me right now on this mic stand. So welcome back to the Kevin Cryer Radio Show. This is not Kevin Cryer. This is Chris Kellstrom. I'm filling in for Kevin. This is KCNR 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, your talk radio. You can find us at KCNR1460.com, and you can also call in at 530-605-4567. So back to where, after I got back from RCRC, some of you may have been seen online on Facebook and stuff, the Sheriff's Department, which is fully staffed now, great job. Kudos to, Sheriff Michael Johnson. There's people that are coming to work for us from other agencies. I think the day that I was there with them, we had just picked up somebody from Tehama County, and so we are fully staffed, and when they were fully staffed, they were able to start up the Catch a Predator program again. So the Catch a Predator program, maybe some of you have seen it on Facebook, online. They have a decoy that's pretending to be a, 13, 14-year-old girl. It's unbelievable how many sickos are out there that are looking to hook up with a young teenage girl. It blows my mind. I can't give too many details because I don't want to blow anybody's cover or anything, but let me just say that, they'd captured three of them. Three people off the street that were wanting to meet with a minor. And, they were in the process of a fourth one. And, the undersheriff had put out the word that he wouldn't mind a supervisor going on one of these, one of these raids or one of these busts. And so as soon as I heard that, I sent him an email and said, please put me at the top of that list. I would love to go. So it was the coolest thing. I got to go to the briefing. I was part of the stakeout. I was there with Tim Mapes, the PIO, Public Information Officer, was in the back seat of the vehicle I was in. And so the videos you saw of in front of the chiropractor's office in Cottonwood of our great deputies taking down this individual, this alleged individual, that was Tim. Tim jumped out of the back of the vehicle and went over there and was filming everything. So Tim did a great job. Everybody involved did a great job. And I don't want to give too many details. I don't want to say too many things that would blow anybody's cover, but the one thing I do want to say is during the briefing, I was in on the briefing, and I just was absolutely just, it was so great. The camaraderie was great, but the professionalism and the compassion that our sheriff's department showed was just amazing to me. I mean, this individual was married. He had two stepchildren at home and a biological child with his wife. They had a search warrant for his house. They had a search warrant for his phone that search warrant for his vehicle. He had already allegedly tried to meet up with the minor one other time, which that in and of itself is a felony. You go to meet a minor for sex, it's a felony. So they already had one felony on him. And they were able to obtain the search warrants for everything. But knowing that the people in his house were innocent victims, you know, our sheriff's, the plan was they were not going to go on heavy-handed. They were going to knock on the door. If she did not answer, then they would call. If she didn't answer that, they would come back another day. They weren't going to break down the door. They weren't going to make a big spectacle. In fact, it was told, only one marked car in front of the house. We don't need to make a spectacle for all the neighbors. These people are going to be put through enough with the poor choices of the husband. And so the compassion that our sheriff's department used, I don't want to give too many details, but the compassion they used and the professionalism, I was very, very impressed with. This individual, we were looking for a certain kind of car for about 2 hours. We were in the parking lots down in Cottonwood. He was supposed to meet this young girl in Cottonwood at the baseball field. So we were kind of staked out watching, and we were all looking for a car. Well, word came down that he actually was driving a truck. About that time, we saw a truck come down from the road he said he was going to be on, drove right behind us. We looked over. We're like, that's him. He parked, and then our wonderful deputies went in there, blocked him in, and, you know, got him out of the vehicle pretty easily. But it turns out the truck was another family member's. It wasn't his, so instead of impounding the truck and towing it, you know, our sheriff's decided to make the call that, hey, we don't want to impact this family member any worse than they have to. So they called this person and told them that, hey, your truck is down here in Cottonwood and this is what happened. And the individual was already aware because when they had served the search warrant at the house, this person was called. So he knew of the situation. So again, the professionalism of our officers and the compassion that they use for innocent victims, you know, was just fantastic. It was amazing, and I was just, again, very happy to see that and very impressed. So kudos to the entire Sheriff's Department. Sheriff Johnson, it starts with you and works its way down, and you are doing a fantastic job leading that department. The camaraderie and the attitudes and everything is just fantastic with our officers. So it was a very, very cool experience. You know, when they asked me if I wanted to go to the interrogation, and I'm like, heck yeah, I want to go to everything. This is one of the best days ever. So I went to the interrogation and watching the individual on closed caption TV, or, you know, I'm thinking, oh man, you have just ruined the rest of your life. Again, 31 years old, allegedly went to meet a minor for sex. And I'm just thinking, you know, you've lost your job. You're going to be a registered sex offender the rest of your life. You're probably going to go to prison. You know, your wife's going to divorce you. You're probably not going to see your son anymore. I mean, it's just like, you know, just the stupidity of it just was overwhelming. I mean, I had to feel a little bit of compassion for the guy just because he really screwed up the rest of his life. So for anybody out there, leave the kids alone for crying out loud. And, again, there's a whole ocean of them. The decoy told me it's not just a drop in the bucket. It's a whole ocean out there. So, and again, I'm not going to give any more details because I don't want to blow anybody's cover or mess anything up in the future. But again, the compassion of our officers and our sheriff's department was just unmatched, and I'm very impressed with all that. I'll be talking about that on my board report too on Wednesday. I got the sheriff's permission. I talked to him Friday and I said, hey, is it okay if I talk about this? He goes, no, please do. I said, okay. I said, I don't want to overstep any bounds or cause any problems. So with that being said, again, greatest day ever. It was just an awesome thing. And if I ever get a chance to do it again, I will jump at the chance. So while we were on a break, Frankie, my wonderful friend, tank commander, Korean War vet, brought in some the paperwork for this meeting that they're having tomorrow. And this is from Troy Payne, which is our VSO. And it says, hello, all. As the Shasta County Veteran Service Officer, I feel that it is important that I reach out to all of you and keep you up to date on the collaborative efforts to address the homeless veteran situation in Shasta County. I am currently working with a collaboration team directed by the Shasta County Board of Supervisors majority to develop a plan of action designed to locate, identify, and initiate complete wraparound services to include housing services, case management, drug and alcohol treatment where needed, housing and urban development, application assistance, rental application assistance, and more. I want to invite all of our veteran partner organizations to a discussion on a date to be determined for a discussion about the vision of the plan and to dispel any potential misinformation before it happens. Additionally, I'm prepared to listen to feedback from all attendees for consideration by the collaborative to address any concerns or ideas from the veteran community leadership on this subject. So this is a letter that Troy Payne, our VSO, sent out. And again, this starts tomorrow, 3 o'clock in the boardroom. That's going to be their first meeting. And then we will be discussing this on Wednesday at the board meeting. We'll have a presentation from them. I believe that we're going to be voting on some funding or some funding for a mental health service specialist under the VSO's office. So again, we're moving forward. Our veterans, they really, really need to be taken care of. I would love to end all homelessness. That would be great. But I believe that, in my opinion, the veterans really need to go to the front of the line. They've served their country. A lot of them are having problems because of their service to their country. So, speaking of that, that's Justin Bond from Our Heroes Dreams. That's a group that's, just done some extremely amazing work. They just got a property up out of Oak Run. They're developing it now. There's a great big main house there, and there's a shop and a pond, and they have plans on putting all these little cabins in everywhere. Some of the things they do is they'll get some of the younger veterans, like from Afghanistan or Iraq, that'll go to them and, with PTSD and some mental issues and being like, nobody understands what I've seen. Nobody knows what I've seen. And then they'll put them around a campfire with a Vietnam vet and that says, I do know what you've seen. I've seen it too, and I've dealt with it for 50 years. You can deal with it too. The peer support is just incredible. I believe Matt Plummer was talking about at the board meeting. They had a homeless veteran on the street. Word got out to Our Heroes Dreams, and they immediately sent a team down. They have action teams. They sent a team down, and they ended up getting the guy help. And I asked Troy Payne the last meeting we had what was the status of that veteran. So I don't know if he's still doing well, if he's still getting help, if he's still housed or what, but I will get an update on that. I'll talk to Justin. Justin's been out of town for a while, but they do some amazing work. They're right here locally. They're nationwide, but they have a big group right here locally. And again, they do some awesome work. Justin, it gives me chills every time I see the presentation, but I believe he's up to 7 bullets now. So he personally had 7 veterans come to him and tell him that, they'd promised their wife or they'd promised their, significant other that they would go through one more program. And if they didn't make it through that program, then they were, going to use the bullet on themselves. And they've handed the bullet over to Justin and said, here you go. I don't need this anymore. You've helped me so much. I don't need this. And again, it gives me chills every time I watch it. It brings tears to my eyes because, they are truly, truly making a difference. And, they do some amazing work. They have teams that go out there. They'll work on a lot of these fires. They'll have teams on the fires. I believe they grabbing animals or taking animals out of the fires and whatever. And I know Justin always tells one story about a vet that was, what did they call it? It was a government cocktail or something where, they had all these pills and alcohol and the guy was just a mess. Well, he was in charge of, a certain group of getting these animals out and stuff, and he was behind fire lines, and then he, told Justin later he finally had a mission again. This was his mission. He was on a mission. He didn't need the pills anymore. He didn't need the alcohol anymore. He now had a mission, and he said, I haven't taken, a single pain pill or anything since we started. And, Justin said he could see the light in his eyes again, light up. So they do some amazing work. I'm sure they'll probably be there tomorrow at 3, and I will be there tomorrow at 3. Our VSO will be there, Health and Human Services. So again, boardroom, Board of Supervisors Chambers, 3 o'clock tomorrow. We're going to start this out, get some information out to some people, and then we will be, have this on the agenda on Wednesday. Again, the board meeting is on Wednesday, not Tuesday. It's on Wednesday at 9 o'clock at the board chambers. Tuesday night, I will probably be going to the Anderson City Council chambers, where the Anderson City Council is, helping us out with, our, where they're going to send a letter, recognizing the lack of health services. Kevin would talk about at the beginning of the show, you know, the lack of health care providers, the lack of doctors in the area. So the Anderson City Council is going to vote on sending a letter, in support of, you know, this health crisis that we are in the middle of. And I've told my story before, but I guess I can tell it again. I'm in the middle of that health crisis personally myself. I've had a commercial driver's license for, I don't know, 35 years. I haven't used it I haven't used it in the last several years, but I usually just keep it going anyways. I go ahead and get my, they call it a green card. It's a physical card. You have to take a physical every 2 years and make sure that, you know, you're not going to have a stroke while you're driving a truck. So, I went in, my blood pressure was 188 over 114. The doctor, the PA or the doctor, whatever, came in and told me, you have something going on, you've got, you know, anomalies and the other tests they did, and she said, you need to go talk to your primary care physician. And I informed her, I don't have a primary care physician. And she said, well, you need to get one. And, I was at the Anderson Walk-In Clinic out in Palo Cedro at this time, and she said, we have two in Anderson and we have one in Redding. And I said, okay. So I immediately called the Anderson Walk-In Clinic, and I said, hey, I need a, you know, primary care physician. They said, well, you know, right now we're not seeing anybody or taking anybody. And I said, look, your doctor told me that I need to see a primary care physician. And so they said, well, come in tomorrow and get your blood pressure taken. So I went in the next day. It was 160 over 100, which was better, but still not good. And she says, well, here's a form. You have to fill out a form to see if they will take you as a patient or not. So after about a week or so, I had not heard back from them. And after filling out my form, my application to see a doctor, I called back and they said, well, we haven't gotten to that yet. And I said, well, look, I said, your own doctor is telling me that I have something going on. I need to get some tests done. I said, you know, I would like to, whatever it is, whatever's happening, I'd like to get it taken care of or looked at before it turns into stage four or something. So we'll come in tomorrow, she says, and, you know, just walk in and see a doctor. So I did. They sent me for blood work. And, so I went and did that, and then, you know, I had to wait a week, phone call, interview for the results of the blood, and then made an appointment to go do, ultrasound or sonogram ultrasound. So I did that. That was 2 weeks ago, and I have not heard a word back from them. So I guess I need to, go ahead and start setting that all up and start calling them again and see what's going on. So again, you know, when Dignity Health comes out and says we have one doctor for every 500 people and it's one doctor for every 5,000 people. I mean, this is a pretty bad healthcare, but like Kevin said, we don't care how it happened. We just need to fix it. We need to find a solution. You know, the medical school that's been talked about quite a bit is pretty exciting. I would love to see that happen. Dr. Danuka is working very hard on that, and if there's anybody that can do it, Dr. Danuka can do it. And Dr. Danuka is a very good friend of mine, and if he's listening, Doc, I have not seen the doctor that you suggested yet. Shout out to you. I will. If I don't hear it back here very soon, I will make that appointment and go see the one doctor that apparently is taking new patients that Dr. Danuka knows about. So, again, this is it's quite the crisis. It's quite the mess. And, you know, my understanding, I have been verified, but the new, cancer treatment center that they're building, I'd heard a few weeks ago that they didn't have a single doctor lined up yet for, you know, an oncologist lined up yet. Now, I don't know if that's still the situation. I don't know if they've got, you know, going to have that staffed or not, but kind of pretty frustrating. And, I know the Wind River is working on a huge health campus, which is pretty exciting. They're going to have all sorts of stuff. They're going to have, mental health services and, even a drunk tank. They're going to have an indoor pool and outdoor pool. They're building that on 273 right across the creek from where the current casino is at now. So, if you guys haven't heard about that, that's pretty exciting. Come to find out, really, Wind River probably has some of the best health care in the entire area. So I guess maybe what I should do is go work part-time for Wind Rivers, and then I can see a primary care physician. So I see Tank Commander came back in the room. I'm not sure what he needs here, but old Frankie Rose, Korean War vet. So, what you got, Frankie?
Well, I've got Dr. Kanuka going to be at our guest speaker next Saturday at our Veterans meeting at the Country Waffle, and I'm opening it up to the community. He's going to talk about the doctor's school or whatever he's going to put together.
Okay, and that's next Saturday?
Yes.
At noon. Is that correct? Noon? Noon?
At noon.
Okay. So, Waffle House next Saturday, noon. Dr. Danuka will be talking to the Korean War vets.
In the back room.
In the back room. So, I was there this last month, and Frankie had me talk about the solar panels that are possible project going on Millville Plains Road. So, I was there as their guest speaker. It's a great group of guys and gals. So, Dr. Danuka will be there next Saturday, Waffle House, 12 p.m., they're off Park Marina. So, maybe I might put that in my phone. I might try to make that myself. So, Dr. Nuga is going to talk about his upcoming school for Dr. Medical School. You know, Chris Street went up to Lebanon, Oregon, and toured their medical school up there. And Lebanon, Oregon was, once was a very good mill town. You know, of course, 92, Spotted Owl, mills closed down. Population went from 19,000 to like 11,000. And then they did a collaboration with, I can't remember if it was UC Davis or I think it was UC Davis. But anyways, they put in medical school in Lebanon, and now their population's back up to 19,000. They're adding on to the medical school. It's a huge success and a huge boon to the community. So if Lebanon, Oregon can do it, I think Shasta County can do it also. So we're looking forward to that. There's people working very diligently on that. And again, Dr. Danuka will be talking about it personally at the Korean War Vets monthly luncheon at Waffle House there on off Park Marina. So 12 noon next Saturday, go to that. Tomorrow, 3 o'clock, go to our VSO meeting with Health and Human Services at the boardroom, 3 p.m. And then don't forget to come to our Board of Supervisors meeting to also discuss many of these things on Wednesday at 9 a.m. Wednesday, not Tuesday, Wednesday at 9 a.m. So I will be going to the Anderson City Council meeting on Tuesday night. And when they vote for our letter of support for the health crisis that we're having right now. And again, with just a few minutes left, I want to once again thank the sheriff and his whole staff, his whole department, all the great people that I got to meet Friday night 2 weeks ago, and for making me a part of the team or making me feel like a part of the team was just fantastic. And again, the professionalism, you know, the compassion that they showed was over the top. So big shout out to the sheriff and his whole team. So that was one of the greatest things I've been able to do since I became a supervisor. The RCRC up Moto County, shout out to all those people too. They put on a great event up there. We got a lot of information. The Wild Horse Sanctuary, that'll be the last thing I talk about. So the Wild Horse Sanctuary up there, it's in the Devil's Garden, used to be the old con camp up there. They turned it into a horse sanctuary. So normally the BLM is the one that catches all the horses because they're the wild Mustangs over in Nevada that is on BLM land. Well, Devil's Garden is a Modoc National Forest, so it's kind of forest service, and they were not in the horse capturing business, but they put themselves in the horse capturing business, and it's pretty cool program. I think they caught 2,000 last year and like 2,700 the year before. They need to get the population down between 200 and 400, and they're at a few thousand right now. So, but they adopt every one of them out. You know, they don't slaughter any. They don't, you know, they turn them all over. And one of the programs they have up there that I'm going to look to bring to Shasta County, is they have a 4-H program where they take some of the young horses that they've captured. They give them to some of the young 4-H kids, and their job for 6 months before, you know, the fair is to halter break them and then saddle break them and get the horses into being a working horse. And then they go ahead and sell them at the fair, which, you know, I think would just be a fantastic program. It would take, you know, half a dozen of these horses out, put them into good homes, put them to good use, Give them good homes, and it would be fantastic too, because this would be one animal that is not a kill fare. The animal wouldn't be, you know, slaughtered afterwards. I went to the buyer's breakfast this last year, and, you know, it's the kids, and it's all part of the 4-H. It's all part of the program. I mean, they know when going in that this animal's not going, you know, it's going to be slaughtered. But it is, it's heart wrenching, you know, the kids sometimes on the last day when their animal's sold, and, you know, now they know that that animal is going to be, you know, slaughtered. But again, that's part of living. That's part of life. That's part of where we get our food and how we get our food. And, you know, they learned at an early age, but still it's heart wrenching because it is difficult for them. You know, they know what they're going into. So this would be a program where, you know, the animal wouldn't be slaughtered at the end of the fair. And I mean, the kids would know that it went to a good home and they'd still make some pretty good money on it. So, 4-H program is fantastic. And if I can bring the horse part of it into Shasta County, I will. I talked to one of the leaders already. She gave me the number of the person that's in charge. We already have a horse program in 4-H, although this would be a different step. This would be something different. So hopefully I will give her a call this week, reach out to her, and maybe we can get this down to Shasta County. So again, this is KCNR 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, your talk radio. It's been a pleasure. Kevin, thank you very much for the opportunity, and I look forward to hearing you in 2 weeks.
Working all day.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.